Okay, if you have your Bible, now turn to Genesis chapter 42 and 3 and 4. We're primarily going to go Genesis 43 and 44. But I want you to notice tonight, if you have your outline, keep in mind, let me set the stage for you. Joseph was in prison for nothing that he did, but God placed him there for a purpose because he knew that one day Pharaoh would get mad at the butler and he would get mad at his baker. And God would give them a dream and he would interpret it. And then the king would get a dream. Now keep in mind, Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, it took 13 years before God got Joseph in the position to be able to use him. He had to put him in prison in order for the butler to get there. You and I sometimes don't understand the down times in our life, but God has a purpose for it. He has a plan for it. He's using things in your life to get you to a position where you're useful to him. And so he puts Joseph in prison. He gets him sold by his brothers because they hated him. Now, God didn't create the hate. The old devil did, and God permitted it. He allowed it. He just didn't say, no, you can't do it. Now, around Job, for many years, God put a hedge about him, and Satan couldn't touch him. And God does that for us from time to time, but from the time to time, he pulls the hedge off, and Satan comes after us. And those are the times we must rely upon the Lord and grow. And if you never got tested in school, you wouldn't be as smart as you are today. And so if you don't get tested in your Christian life, you don't grow to the point where God can use you. Now, Joseph was sold into slavery. I'm certain that hurt him by his own brothers. But he forgave them. And then he was in charge of Potiphar's house. Then Potiphar's wife lied about him. He got put into prison. So he's been sold as a slave, put into prison. And then the butler and the baker get thrown into prison and he's in charge of the prison. Now he's a prisoner. And if you find out anything about him, the Bible says when he came out of prison, when the butler remembered him as one that interpreted his dream, and Pharaoh said, I can't find anybody to interpret my dream. And the butler said, oh my goodness, I remember there was a guy in prison named Joseph. He was in charge of the prison. He could interpret dreams. And Pharaoh said, go get him. So they go down to get Joseph. He has to get a shave. His beard is... He's been in prison. He's been in a dungeon. And so you might say, well, he became chief of the prison. In other words, the captain of the prison. Didn't know anything about the prisoners, know anything what was going on. Joseph took care of it all. Nobody escaped. Nobody had to complain about their food. They got their food. He tried to take care of the prisoners. And whenever the butler and the baker came in, did you notice he noticed their spirit was down? So Joseph knew all the prisoners. And one of them said, well, we had a dream. We don't know what it's about. We can't figure it out. Well, tell me. I know the Lord, and I believe the Lord will help you to get the answer. And he does. Tells the butler, you're going to die, and tells the baker, you're going to die in 3 days, and tells the butler, you're going to be put back in your position as butler for the king. And that's exactly what happened. And then does anybody know what the butler did? He did something bad. He forgot Joseph. He didn't tell Pharaoh that Joseph was there wrongly, and so Joseph has to go 2 more years. He was there 11 years, and he had to go 2 more years to 13 years, and all of a sudden, the butler remembered whenever Pharaoh said, I can't get my dream interpreted, I don't know what I'm going to do, and butler says, I remember, my fault, my bad, and I'm certain whenever Joseph came out, he looked at him and said, hey, my bad, and if you would have been normal Joseph, he said, my bad, as I punched you for getting me for 2 years in prison. And Christian love, of course. And yet he would say, no, that wasn't Joseph. Joseph was forgiving and trusting in the Lord to take care of him. And God did that. So then the next thing Joseph knows, he goes from being a lied about prisoner that's in charge of the depths of the prison, and he's now next to Pharaoh. He's prime minister of Egypt. He has the greatest respect of anybody in Egypt except for Pharaoh. In one day. Only God can do that. And then he knows that there's 7 years of famine. They go through 7 years of glorious riches. I mean, the grounds produce handfuls. And people are getting wealthy, filthy rich. Their cattle are growing. They're making money. They're storing food in their barns. They're just too good to be true. And then 7 years are over, and all of a sudden there's famine hits and there's no rain. 7 years. And in the middle of that, the famine affects worldwide. And so his brothers in Canaan land say, you know, they're trying to figure out, wow, what are we going to do? There's no rain. We need food. So we got to go to Egypt because they got corn. And Joseph had stored corn to where the Bible says it was without number. He couldn't count it all. He couldn't count the bushels. But he knew he had to save it and give it out sparingly. So he did do that. And everybody in the world that came to Egypt, they had to go to Joseph to get their supply of food. So he had a system set up and people bought it. Well, you notice, pretty soon he had his brothers show up. And he had no idea, but God had a plan. His brothers showed up from Canaan and said, we need to buy food. Joseph was in Egyptian garb. He was unrecognizable to his brothers, but he recognized his 10 brothers. And he lets them have their food back and their money back and goes and has a plan because he wants to see his youngest brother. Well, he makes Simeon stay because he claims they're spies. He knew they weren't spies. So notice in the outline, the famine was terrible. In Israel, Jacob was faced with a difficult decision. What do I do? Now, does anybody remember why his brothers hated Joseph in the first place? But Chris? Pardon me? Yes. He had a coat of many colors. His father showed him great favoritism over his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. It wasn't Joseph's fault. But that's a lesson we can learn. Never show favoritism to people we work with, to our children. Don't show and play favorites. If you're a teacher and you got 10 kids in your class or 20 kids in your class or 15 kids in your class, the worst thing you can do is show one of them favoritism. The other kids begin to dislike that kid, but get jealous. And so if you've got 3 children, you show favoritism to one. If you got 2 children, show favoritism to one. You'll do the same thing to them. The other two will have ill feelings toward, he has 2 wives, and the one wife was his favorite wife, and she had 2 children, Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph was sold, and the brothers wanted to kill him, but they decided to make money off of him, so they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. But the youngest brother named Benjamin, they saw the devastation they did to their father and how grieved he was, and they just couldn't do it to their youngest brother. So he was sort of the baby of the family and the favorite, and so they just kind of accepted that one. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, he still had favoritism for Benjamin more than his other sons. And you'll notice, in the outline, the brothers seem to accept the favoritism this time out of the guilt they felt from how they had treated Joseph the first time. Notice chapter 42, look in verse number 21. And whenever Joseph, now they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them, and he treats them a little harshly because he's trying to get a plan to get them to bring Benjamin back. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. He said, I fear God, your God, but you got to do something. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine for your houses, But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified. You said you were a family of 12 brothers. One was not. And Joseph said, that's me. But he didn't tell them that. And one is back home, and we're the other 10. And he said, okay, prove it. Bring your youngest brother. Well, now keep in mind, that was Joseph's true brother. The other 10 were half-brothers. But this is his true brother. And he is so excited. He wants to see his youngest brother. So he puts together this plan. He says, one of you is going to stay here while you go back and take your foodstuffs back and bring your youngest brother. Well, understand, Israel is not going to let the youngest brother out of his sight. He's too precious to him. You and I cannot treat anybody that way, because that favoritism immediately invokes jealousy and bitterness people around. If you have 10 employees and you treat one of them special, the other 9 will have a hard time with that one. Now notice, if you would, see in the outline, Israel would not let Benjamin go out of his sight. Look in verse 38 of chapter 42. And he said, my son shall not go down with you. Now he's got 10 sons he's talking to. He said, my son, almost like my real son, is not going down with you. They were all his real sons. But notice it says, for his brother is dead and he's left alone. He's not alone. He's among 11 brothers. This just goes to show you the favoritism that's in his heart. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring me down to my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I'll just die if something happens to Benjamin. I don't care about the rest of you 10, but if Benjamin gets lost, it'll kill me. Notice, if you would, in the outline, when Israel said to go and buy more food in Egypt, the brothers said they wouldn't without Benjamin going with them. Why? Because Joseph looked them in the eye and said, don't you come back unless you bring your brother, because I treat you as spies. So notice verse number four. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy the food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, now the man is their brother, and they don't know it. Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. So Joseph's plan was to force them to bring that youngest brother back. And he knew he had them, because he knew they're going to run out of food. There is no food anywhere except in Egypt. And he knew there were more years of famine to come. They have to come back. So they have to bring their brother back or don't get any food. He made that clear to them. And another thing, notice if you would, in the outline, finally Israel said okay, because they would all starve if he didn't let Benjamin go. Look in verse 11. Let's go to verse 9. And I will be surety for him. So Judah says, look, let him go and I'll guarantee his safety. In verse number 9, of mine own hand shalt thou require it. If I bring him not unto thee and set him not before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, if we hadn't have stayed this long, surely now we had returned the second time with food. So they're almost out of food. They take the best that they have in verse 12. And verse number 13, he says, take also your brother, arise and go again unto the man. He doesn't realize he's speaking about the man is his own son. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 2, Joseph had a plan to force his brothers to bring Benjamin to Egypt. A, he kept Simeon so the brothers knew he meant business. Look, if you would, in chapter 42 and verse 24. And when he turned himself about from them and wept, Joseph saw his brothers and he couldn't contain himself. He was overwhelmed with love for them, the brothers that sold him as a slave. That ought to tell all of us the kind of Christian character and forgiveness we need to have. Somebody maybe has done something to you at work or in the neighborhood, but can I ask you a question? Have you forgiven them? Joseph did. And nobody in this room has been sold as a slave. So we have no excuse but to forgive. Peter one time looked at Jesus And he thought he would be really a great Christian. He said, Lord Jesus, how often do I forgive my brother? Seven times? If he does something seven times, how many of you would do the same thing seven times in a row and expect your husband to forgive you? Or your wife to forgive you? Well, Jesus looked at him and said, what? No, seven times 70. And Peter says, oh, help my faith. How could I forgive somebody 490 times for the same thing? Hey, honey, could you fix me? I love oatmeal. Could you fix me oatmeal with what in it? Peanut butter and honey. Okay. And so she fixed my peanut butter and she fixed my oatmeal and she put peanut butter in it, but she put crunchy in it. So I'm eating my peanut butter. Hey, honey, could you next time put smooth peanut butter in it? Oh, sure. And next time she said, well, I've got this jar of peanut butter. I might as well use it. Crunchy. And she did that 489 times. That's the biggest can of peanut butter I've ever seen, but she did it, okay? What do you think I would think about her? Humanly speaking, she's doing it on purpose. What is she doing? What have I done? She's trying to pay me back. Anybody in this room ever had those thoughts? Do you understand? The Lord is trying to teach a lesson. No matter what anybody does to us, we're to forgive it. No matter how big it is, bad it is, how many times it's done. None of us have any reason not to forgive. And one of the great examples in Scripture is Joseph is sold as a slave by his own brothers, and he sees them for the first time, and he has to turn his back because he's crying for them. He's so appreciative to see them again. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24, and he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, wiped his tears, turns around, and took from them Simon and bound him before their eyes. This is not mean-spirited. This is so they'll bring his youngest brother back. And he's putting on a show, trying to get them to understand he means business. So he binds Simeon right in front of them and takes him to jail. Now, I can guarantee in jail he took good care of him. Because notice what happens. They come back. They've got Benjamin. Well, notice, if you would, verse B in the outline, Roman 2B, Joseph knew they would have to come back and buy food or starve. Verse 43, chapter 43, verse 1. Look, if you would. And the famine was sore in the land. The famine was so tough in the land that there was nothing to eat. Well, notice, if you would. C in the outline, Joseph didn't reveal himself to them. In verse 8 of chapter 42, they didn't know who he was. Listen to this verse. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. So he's got an advantage over them to try to get Benjamin to come and see him. Now notice, if you would, D in the outline, his plan worked. And they brought Benjamin back with them to buy food. Look in verse 15. And the men took the present that they had double money in their hand. And what he had done is he had put their money back in their bags with their food. Joseph's trying to be good with them. So they come to buy all this food stuff. They buy it. And Joseph has his men put their money back in their sacks. So they go away and pull their money back, pull their sacks open, found out they had money. Their heart about died. Oh my, he's going to think we stole it. Well, he's trying to be good to them. But their memory of what they did to Joseph, the guilt comes back. Look, if you would, verse number 21 of chapter 42. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. They never got over 13 years of guilt. You know why? No one ever confessed it. No one ever said, we shouldn't have done it. But now they're faced with it again. In that we saw the anguish of his soul. They saw Joseph pleading for his life. Don't sell me. Please don't. And notice, when he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. They said, God is getting us back. They didn't realize it, but it's their own brother trying to be good to them, and they're thinking it's evil. Well, notice if you would in the outline. E, Joseph fed his brethren at a big banquet at his home. Look in chapter 43 and look over in verse number 24. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now, can you imagine? He's second in command of all of Egypt. So he must have this palatial mansion, and the brothers are brought into this mansion and say, what is going on here? This is the man that put Simeon in prison. What is he doing? What have we done? What's going on? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 26, when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house. They wanted to give him a present, say they're trying to buy favor with him, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. They're showing respect to Joseph. Verse 27, and he asked them of their welfare. How are y'all doing? And said, is your father well? Joseph is trying to find out about his family without them knowing. The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? They answered, thy servant, our father's in good health. He is yet alive. Well, you know, Joseph now, it's just such an encouragement to his heart. They bowed down their heads and made obeisance. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And notice in verse 30, he couldn't contain himself. And Joseph made haste. He ran out of his own room where they were, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. Do you sense such a broken heart, such a love for his family that he hasn't seen in 13 years? There's no sign of bitterness here. Notice what happens. And he entered into his chamber and wept there, went into his bedroom and poured his heart out to the Lord. Verse 31, he washed his face, cleaned himself up, and went out and refrained himself. He bucked up and said, sit on bread. So he sits them all down, and notice what happens. Verse 33, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright. Joseph knew how old each one was, in what order his 12 kids are, his 12 brothers are. So he sits them from the firstborn all the way down to Benjamin the last. And they see it. And they say, wow, what's going on here? Well, notice verse 33. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. They said, how did this happen? Verse 34, and he took and sent messes unto them before him. So he sends each one of them a huge amount of food. Now you got to understand, they've been starving. Verse 34, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. They noticed there was something different about Benjamin. Well, this is the young man that they said we had to bring back, so he's probably treating him as extra special. And then they decide to go back. They got to take the food back to their family so they can live. In chapter 44, now notice if you would, in the outline, F, Joseph broke down and left the meal to compose himself. After finding out about his father and seeing Benjamin, G, when the brothers were seated by age and Benjamin had five times as much food given to him, the brothers were amazed, but they were thrilled because they got to eat in the king's aid home. I don't think they understood anything what was going on. They were just kind of amazed. Well, we've had great good fortune now, and we get to eat with the prime minister that's in charge of all of Egypt. But why? They can't figure it out. Well, notice if you would, Roman numeral 3, the brothers of Joseph had to face their past evils. A, as they packed to leave, Joseph planned to keep Benjamin. He wanted Benjamin to stay with him. So notice what he does. B, he put his personal cup in Benjamin's sack of food to keep him for stealing his cup. Now watch, chapter 44 and verse number 4. And when they were gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Joseph had this plan put together so he could keep Benjamin, but he had no idea it would kill his father if he kept him. So notice what happens. Verse 5, is not this in it which my Lord drinketh, and where indeed he divineth, ye have done evil in so doing. You took my Lord's cup. And he overtook them and spake to them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? Why is your master saying we stole his cup? And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. They're sort of arrogant and have an attitude. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee. We found extra money in our sacks, we brought that back to you. Why would we steal? And notice verse 9. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we will be thy my Lord's bondmen. They were so arrogant and so certain that nobody had taken that cup. They said, whoever you find that cup in his bag, let him die. And by the way, we'll be your servants the rest of life. Verse 10, and he said, now also let it be according to your words. Okay, you said it. We agree to it. In verse number 11, then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest. Can you imagine the eldest? Nope. See there? You see the attitude? Told you it wasn't there. The next one, the next one, the next one. Gets all the way down to Benjamin. And now they're probably joking and high-fiving and saying, you were wrong. See what you did? You accused us falsely. And notice if you would. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Look at verse 13. Then they rent their clothes, laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. Now, can you imagine what that trip was like? God's paying us back for everything we did to Joseph. Verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Want you not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Don't you know I can tell if you stole my cup or not? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? We give up. You got us. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Listen to this next sentence. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Now, folks, when you and I do something that's wrong and we don't confess it, we're never going to get past it. Something comes up, it's going to come up in our minds. Oh, no. Satan will bring it up to destroy your peace, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up to return your peace, to get you to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? The Lord saves everybody in this room for the purpose of having fellowship with you once again. Jesus died to restore fellowship to you and I with the Father. And so when we sin in our own heart, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You put a separation between you and the Lord of heaven when you and I sin and leave it there. These 10 brothers sinned against their brother and left it there. No, the Bible never says that one of them said, we were wrong, shouldn't have done it, we're sorry, Lord. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, C, the brothers were brought back to Joseph's house. D, the brothers pled with Joseph not to keep Benjamin or would kill their father. Look in verse 44, verse number 18. Then Judah. Now, in verse 16, the very last phrase, it says, behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Benjamin and us, all 11 of us, were your servants. And notice what Joseph says. You see what his master plan was. And he said, God forbid that I do so. I don't want you to be my servants. But the man whose cup, whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. It'll be Benjamin. He'll be my servant. As far as you, get you up in peace and go to your father. You see what Benjamin was trying to do? He was trying to get his brother so he could be good to him, so he could have fellowship with him. He was excited about it. But he didn't understand how much his father had grieved over him and what it would do to him if Benjamin wasn't there. He didn't realize the amount of favoritism that his father bestowed upon him and Benjamin. Notice, if you would, verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Could I just say something to you, my Lord? Let not thine anger burn against thy servants. Please don't be angry with me, for thou art even as Pharaoh. We realize you're the most important person, just like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead. Another lie. But they think, they know it's been sold. They just assume he's dead. And his alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. His dad, now our dad loves this son. They don't even say, he kind of likes us, but he loves him. In verse number 21, and thou saidest unto thy servant, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. You asked us to bring him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he leave his father would die. And thou saidest to thy servant, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. Oh, mighty one, you said we couldn't come back unless we brought him. Verse 24, and it came to pass when we came into thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. Our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be not with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. We told our dad we couldn't come back unless we brought our youngest brother. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me 2 sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. Those 10 brothers did that to their father, and they never made it right. So they don't know this is Joseph. And so they're telling the story as they made it up to their father. They never made it right. And if you take this one from me and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I'll die if you lose Benjamin. Notice verse 30. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he'll die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety. I promised our father I'd bring him back. Verse 33, now therefore, I pray thee, I plead with you, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman. For the first time in Judah's life, he put somebody else before himself. Don't make it where God has to put us on our knees before we humble ourselves. All of us in this room live with a humble spirit that others are first. For the first time in Judah's life, he values his youngest brother Benjamin more than himself. He says, let me be your bond slave. A bond slave is different than a slave. A bond slave chooses to be with his master. He said, I'm choosing you over my life. If you'll please let Benjamin go home. He's giving up everything to let Benjamin go home. He loved his dad, and he knew that he was responsible for his dad putting even more love into Benjamin because Joseph was gone. Now notice what happens, and I want you to see this. Their past treatment of Joseph haunted them. And notice this. Verse 34, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. Please don't kill my father. Let me stay instead. And notice what happens. Joseph breaks. Verse 40, chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And while there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. He just lost it. 13 years of pent up sorrow and love and desolation comes out, and he weeps that all of Egypt can hear it nearly. It just goes, Joseph is crying. Joseph has lost it. There's something happened to Joseph. And then they find out it's his brethren are back. They don't know the story. He got sold by his brothers. They didn't know any of that. They just see now all of a sudden that his brothers are back. Well, can you imagine what his brothers must feel now? Uh-oh. We're in deep trouble. Because that is Joseph in charge of Egypt. You know the story. F in the outline. Joseph saw their consternation over the situation of killing their father and revealed himself to them. What a magnificent plan by God to take care of Israel and his family. Now Joseph understands that God was behind all this that happened. God didn't do it. God allowed Satan to have a hand and used Satan to bring about the salvation of all of Israel. 70 people to spare their lives by putting Joseph in the right place. Tonight, God will use you and me if we'll let him. If we'll go through the hard times and grow in the midst, not get bitter, not give up, not blame God, not blame others, but say, Lord, I'll trust you. I don't understand. Job, in the middle of everything, said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the attitude all of us should have. When we face a difficult health issue, when we face a difficulty at work, when we face a difficulty at home, when we face a difficulty in our neighborhood, a difficulty of any kind, Lord, I don't understand, but I'll trust you. and we keep growing. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play a verse of invitation hymn. And maybe tonight you need to come talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going through something, but I'll trust you. I don't know what it's going to turn out, but Lord, I know you love me. And I know you'll work it out for your good and for my good if I love you more. If you need to come talk to the Lord tonight, I encourage you to do it. He is a good God. He is the great God of heaven. And he loves everybody in this room more than you could ever imagine. Will we trust him? Lord Jesus, thank you for your greatest of sacrifices for us. Help us to learn to trust you and to grow in the midst of every difficulty. Speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.